There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead
30K MVP. Right?
Thank you, Master!
From Germany, 6'11", at center, the tall baller from the G, Dirk Nowitzki.
What a podcast we have in store for you guys.
You're going to love it.
We are still high off of the Dirk 30K game Dirk from high. Last night. I was there. Taman was there in spirit.
I was.
It was incredible. It was such a different game than any, obviously, that I'd ever been to. It's history. It's literal history where something has only been done 5 times and you get to go be there when it happens.
Right.
And it's not guaranteed. That's the fun part about it, is right. that it's not guaranteed.
Right.
Is that he needed 20 points to get to 30,000.
Right.
And by the way, Dirk scored 30,000 points. There's only 5 players that have ever done it. Taman, name them off for me.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Karl Malone. Dirk Nowitzki. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Will Chamberlain. I had a little blank there. I had a
Those
brain fart there.
Are some of the greatest names in basketball.
Yes.
And go to Mavs
Dirk's
Fanatic.
Name is there.
Go to MavsFanatic.com. Look at my video essay that I did about Dirk. It's the thumbnail has the Dirk with on the Mount Rushmore. I threw a little shot at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Did you see that?
Yes.
Threw a little shot at him with the one trick pony.
Yes.
Thing.
I saw that.
It was an amazing game, and we're going to bring on Chris Arnold from 105.3 The Fan, and he's got some good stuff to say, and he even throws some shots at Taman directly.
He did, and hey, I had to defend myself, and I think I defended myself very, very strongly. And you also like in the podcast, I concede it. I have breaking news in that podcast, and you're going to love it. But by the way, can I say something real quick?
Of course.
Dirk getting 30,000 is very personal for me.
Yeah.
It really is.
For a lot of Mavs fans,
yeah,
it is.
This is a guy who I want to start off by saying finals MVP, MVP, 30,000 point scorer. I don't even know how many All-Star games, but you've been to a million of them. Dirk, I said this on Facebook last night. I have watched you literally since I was 7 years old. You got drafted when I was 6. You started playing when I was 7. I remember the reunion arena days. I remember the tough days. I was thinking about this when you brought up Gary Trent. Today,
yeah, on 105.3 The Fan, he was on with Ben and Skin.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ben and Skin. Yeah, shout out 105.3 The Fan.
Right.
Always.
And you brought up Gary Trent. I literally was thinking of my childhood, and you brought up 02 and 03, and you brought up Nick Van Exel, and you brought up the Avery years in 06 and 07, the toughness for you, and then 11 winning a championship, and now you're kind of riding off into the sunset.
Gosh.
Dirk, 19 years. I've been a Mavericks fan before 19 years. I remember the Michael Finley years and the Jim Jackson and Jason Kidd.
And
I was really young.
The reunion arena years.
Yes. Like, Dirk, you have been so influential to me as me being a sports fan, because I remember living in Connecticut and I was the only Mavs fan. I was the only Dirk fan. I would defend you like crazy. I had my friends who liked some of the younger athletic power forwards at the time, like Amari Stoudemire and Jermaine O'Neal. Yeah. I kept saying, Dirk Nowitzki, Dirk Nowitzki, Dirk Nowitzki. And Dirk, I personally thank you. I feel like I know you like one-on-one, even though we really don't, but I love you. And I'll be honest with you, man. You have been everybody. I think a lot of sports kids have like a sports hero. Dirk, you have been my sports hero. And two instances. Instance number one, when I was first working in media and I got to ask you a question, that was like, oh my God, this is great for
yeah.
me. And then number two, Dirk, you probably don't even remember this, but I was at a Maverick game last year. And there was a little kid dribbling the basketball while you were in shoot around. And the ball went right to him, and you said, hey, have him pass me the ball. And the kid passed you the ball, and then you took a shot, and he made it. And then you gave him a high five and said, you gave me the assist. And that happened right in front of me. And I was thinking to myself, like, Dirk, this kid was maybe like 4 or 5, maybe 6 years old. I'm like, you just made that kid's, like, he's going to love you for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just, basically, you just gave a kid a wonderful moment. And I got to see that right up close. Dirk, you're a great guy. You're a great athlete. I'm so glad you're in the 30,000 club. You're my favorite player. You're the best player in Dallas Mavericks history. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. I love you. Thank you so much.
And this is as good a time as ever to talk about our friends at audible.com.
Yes, our good friend Audible.
They have a book there, The Inspirational Story of Basketball Superstar Dirk Nowitzki by Bill Redman. You can go on there.
Get it.
And get it for free.
For free.
Go to audibletrial.com/almighty. That's almighty, like the Almighty Baller Podcast Network that, yep, by the way, the Mavs Fanatic is part of the Almighty Baller Podcast,
yep,
Network. We are part of that. So they have over 100,000 titles to choose from. Go to download one of these books or any of the other thousands of options for free. You get one free book. Use it on a good one. Use it on the inspirational story of Dirk Nowitzki. It's all about Dirk and everything. I mean, you're going to...
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
Every Mavs fan right now is wanting to read more about Dirk today, like just anything, even stuff they've read before going back. So go to that. Go to audibletrial.com/almighty for your free audiobook.
Dirk, we
And we bring on Chris Arnold, and it's awesome.
CIA.
Stay for it. And then afterwards, Taman and I have one of the greatest conversations that has ever happened.
Yeah, I think, I honestly think it was...
There was apologies.
Yes.
There was forgiveness.
Yes.
There was... not love lost.
No.
There was...
This was the first time...
Intelligent words said.
Yeah, this was the first time this year where we were actually, like, civil and we didn't disagree on anything.
Yeah, let's agree that for the rest of the pod, we're not going to disagree on stuff.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Agree?
I'm totally down.
All right, let's bring on Chris Arnold. This is a good one.
Joining us now here on the Mavs Fanatic Podcast is the one and only, you know who it is. Wait, he's got you down. That's Chris Arnold from 105.3 The Fan. What's going on, Chris?
Fellas, what a night last night in Maverickland.
Man, that was pretty incredible.
Amazing.
It was the night of Dirk. I mean, you know, Chris, for me personally, as a guy who's only 25 years old, Dirk Nowitzki has been my life. And
right?
Literally, yeah, to see him do that, that was pretty awesome. That was incredible. You got to be happy for him.
Yes, for those who don't know exactly what we're talking about, he joined a 30,000-point club. There's only 5 other guys in it. The mailman, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and who am I leaving out? Dirk and Will Chamberlain. Those are the only ones that are in
there.
That's it. And he did it so efficiently, and it was like turning back the clock of time because he did it. He scored 20. All he needed was 20 points. He scored 23 points in the first quarter in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's how efficient he was, and he wasn't forcing it.
Nope.
And, of course, there was a buzz in the air. They blew out the Lakers. They've beaten the Lakers now 14 straight times, believe it or not.
Yeah,
so it was like you got them against the nemesis, the Lakers. And Dirk was just vintage Dirk. He literally turned back the clock.
Chris, it's interesting that you mentioned how efficient it was it's interesting that they were playing the Lakers because this game could have easily been a final Kobe game. Like, this could have been that, where they just kept feeding him the ball, He takes 50 shots, and he just did it so efficiently. It was amazing.
He was 8 for 10 when he got his 30,000 points. Like, that is incredible. You're shooting 80%.
Even LeBron noticed that. Did you see LeBron's tweet
on
Instagram where he was saying he was watching it and how efficient Dirk was? And by the way, LeBron is probably the next guy that will join the 30,000-point club.
He's getting up close.
That won't happen for him until sometime next year.
Chris, let me ask you, because you're the Mavs MC. You've been around the Mavericks for a long time. You've got to see Dirk. You've got to see Dirk really grow. How did you feel personally about this?
I was so proud of him because, number one, I was there when they drafted him and they made they drafted Tractor Trailer. It was a pre-deal where they drafted Tractor Trailer for Milwaukee, and then Milwaukee drafted Dirk and they made the swap, and I was watching it. They used to have Maverick draft parties and the fans just booed. They thought he was another Euro stiff. They thought he was Chris Anstey or Uwe Blob all over again. And then when they also acquired Steve Nash the same day on draft day, and they booed both of them. I became very good friends with those boys back in those days because we all lived in Uptown. So we used to hang out after the games. And I've always been proud of Dirk. And one of the things I loved about last night was the video montage. Remember they had on the big screen? They had
a couple.
Michael Finley and Jason Kidd and legit, Terry. And they had Steve Nash up there, and Steve says, wow, 30,000 points, that's amazing. How do you say 30,000 points in German? Is it ball hog? It was funny. I loved it.
That was awesome. And the Ben Stiller one where he said, 30,000 points, that's amazing, in one game.
Yeah, in one game, he started chopping wood, yeah.
Yeah, they're chopping wood.
No, Chris.
That was a great night. It was a great night all around because, number one, they won the game. They won the game handily. There wasn't any drama like the Lakers might come back and spoil the evening.
Yeah.
And Dirk got it over with early. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but, you know, everybody got Dirk 30K T-shirts. T-shirt Tuesday. Everybody got T-shirts. Dirk was not happy about that.
Nope.
I don't know if you know about that. Did you know that story?
Yeah, he talked about it in his post-game comments where he came in and was like, I texted Leslie and said I didn't like that.
Yeah. He was like, whose idea was this? And he said, why didn't you come up with a Dirk T-shirt? He was like, oh, no. But yeah, it worked out great.
So, Chris, you walk into the arena, and when I walked into the arena, immediately the first thing I saw, all the 30K shirts all over the place. You just feel, you see there's more people there earlier than normal. There's, you know, there's always the Lakers fan. There's all, you know, always the Lakers fans that are all over the place. But there's tons of Dirk fans. There's tons of media there. I mean, there's usually maybe two or three cameras in the presser room. Last night there was maybe like 12 or 15. I mean, it was just an incredible night. So for the people that weren't there, what was it like in the arena, and how was this different? How did this feel differently than like a normal Mavs game?
It was like playoff atmosphere. As you mentioned, you had more than the usual number of media. The Lakers are not a great team. Once upon a time when the Lakers had Kobe and Magic Johnson in those days, then there was always all these gold diggers walking around, you know, all the beautiful women, the beautiful people. But this is a Laker team that nobody cares about. But yet, you had all the media there. Tony Romo was there. I got Ezekiel Elliott called me at 5:30 and said, can you get me some tickets? I was able to get Ezekiel Elliott some tickets to the game, so Zeke was there.
How about that?
It was a really nice game. Oh, yeah, Andy Dalton was there.
Yeah, I met him. Yeah, I'm actually from Cincinnati, and so I was walking around filming at the beginning of the game, and I've grown up a Bengals fan my whole life, and so I turned around, there's Andy Dalton sitting behind me. I was like, what the heck? Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
That was great.
Andy with his red hair. TCU, go Frogs. He took me to the Rose Bowl.
Chris, we were just listening to Dirk Nowitzki. He was actually on the Ben and Skin Show on 105.3 The Fan. And Dirk was saying that this is one of his moments that he's just going to – I mean, he says he remembers a lot, but he said he remembers the finals. He remembers 06. He remembers 02 and 03. He remembers 20 and 25,000. He's going to remember 30,000. What are your favorite Dirk moments? I mean, there's so many of them, but, like, this is obviously right up there at the top.
Yeah, this is up there. Of course, the very top is winning the championship down in Miami.
Oh, of course.
And, of course, I mean, I guess the first ever playoff game they won, the Mavericks franchise hadn't won a playoff game since the 80s, and we were up in Utah, and we had a big party after that. They had a big party last night, by the way, as well. But I think for him, this is what I really appreciate about Dirk. Unlike, you know, some other teams and players that have reached success. Like even the team of the 90s for the Cowboys that won those three Super Bowls, the majority of those guys weren't on that 1-15 team that Jimmy and Jerry had and Troy Aikman was on. That was bad. But put it like this, but it wasn't like they went to the Super Bowl and lost it like Atlanta.
Right.
People forget, but in 2006, the Mavericks went to the NBA Finals. They were up 2-0 on Miami and then proceeded to lose 4 straight games, which is like Atlanta losing to New England.
It was
that painful, okay? And then so everybody's saying Dirk's soft, he's a Euro soft. The very next year, they win 67 games, okay?
Yeah, with a vengeance.
You win 67 games, you win the NBA championship. They get knocked out in the first round by Golden State, which hadn't been in the playoffs in 10 years. The coach was Nelly, who built the Mavericks and knew exactly how to beat the Mavericks. Dirk was the MVP of the season that year. And when they gave him his trophy, which was right after the Mavericks were eliminated, the irony of it was they presented the trophy in the second round of the playoffs. He was embarrassed to get that trophy because he had just got He just made history the wrong way. His team right. became the first team to win over 65 games to get eliminated in the first round. Biggest upset in NBA playoff history. He was so distraught about all of it that he and Holger, is the man who created him, his old coach from Germany, they went off to Australia and disappeared in the bush, the wilds of Australia, for yeah. a month.
Right.
While he got his head together. Then he came back, and they wind up playing Miami again, but this time it's LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, and the team that everybody says is going to win. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five, six, seven. And everybody like, there's no way this Mavericks team is going to win against Miami. They already upset Portland. They upset the Lakers. Then they upset Oklahoma City. There's no way they're going to beat Miami. They beat Miami.
Boom.
And I was so happy for him because people and called him Euro soft, and they never went without it. This was a burden he carried for over 10 years. Most,
yeah.
It's like the Romo thing, but worse. Because Romo never even got to the Super Bowl to lose like Atlanta. But imagine the people who say Romo can never win a big one. That's what Dirk was dealing with. Right now, Dirk is beloved, and widely so. But people forget. They have a very convenient memory of, oh, yeah, we've always loved Dirk. No, y'all thought Dirk was soft.
Yeah.
That's rough. I mean, for the record, I just want to say I was not one of those Mavs fans. I stuck by Dirk through thick and thin.
Oh, sure you
were. Hey, you know what? Chris, you know what?
Amateur GM himself.
No,
I'm going to tell you how come I know that you're not telling me the truth.
I can promise you, and I can prove you're wrong.
I'm going to tell you why I know.
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you why I know. Because you're the same guy when this season started and Dirk didn't play till Christmas. They need to tank. They need to go ahead and lose all these games so they can get a draft pick. That same mentality person are the same mentality people who were saying this team can't win with Dirk. It was the same mentality.
I'm going to rebuke that because
he might have been your favorite player, but you didn't believe that they could win a title with him.
Oh, that is
you can't
Chris,
win with just Dirk, and they did.
Chris, I promise you that is totally false. I was the only Mavericks fan, to my knowledge, living in West Hartford, Connecticut, who literally defended this guy every day in high school because all the attacks that you just talked about, all my friends would tell me that Dirk Nowitzki cannot win the big one. And I said, don't blame it on Dirk. It's not Dirk. There were times that I was very critical of Donnie Nelson for getting the right talent around Dirk Nowitzki. I gave Donnie that credit when they won in 2011. But 06 and 07, even though I was disappointed, I never blamed it on Dirk because I saw what Dirk was doing. Dirk played his heart out. Dirk, when you have the lack of talent not playing around with you, it's going to affect you. It wasn't Dirk that I didn't believe in. It was the Mavericks that I was questioning.
I understand. But like I said, the best comparison I can make is the Romo. We're all the Romo haters out there blaming Romo for not. How many rings does he have? Romo's not a great quarterback. It's the same. It's the exact same argument. And here's another thing. Ironically, after Dirk won his title, he sent a tweet out to Tony and said, "Your turn. Don't worry. Hang in there. You're going to be next." And fate is not going to let that happen.
Chris, let me ask you this. When it comes to like Dallas history, I was trying to think what else I could compare this to getting 30,000 points. And the only thing that I could think of maybe in my recent memory is when Emmitt Smith broke the rushing record. Now, I understand there's a rushing record and it's 30,000 points, but is it comparable and this is the moment we're going to remember for Dallas history that, you know, we always talk about Emmitt getting the rushing record, Dirk getting 30,000 points. Like, that's an amazing feat.
It is. I don't know if people are going to treat it exactly the same because Emmitt's record will probably never be broken, and he is the all-time. Dirk is just in a club. He's not the all-time leading scorer. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is, which is something to be said. A lot of people don't even know Kareem's the all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's going to be memorable because it was Dirk. He's one of the icons in sports in this town. People are going to remember the moment. And they may remember it somewhat like Emmitt, but the thing about Emmitt is when Emmitt is introduced, he's always known as the NFL's all-time leading rusher.
Right.
When Dirk's introduced, he'll be known as Dirk Nowitzki, NBA champion, NBA MVP. They may even throw in the 30,000-point club, but that's not what he'll be known for.
Right.
Emmitt's got three rings, but nobody says three-time Super Bowl champion Emmitt Smith. They say Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher in NFL history.
Could it be compared to like what Rick Carlisle said, getting 3,000 hits in baseball? That exclusive club of accomplishing
yeah,
that.
That's probably more like it. If people are more into analytics nowadays, yeah, I believe that's probably would be a better comparison. They will also talk about Dirk invented the shot that so many people try to copy now. Kevin Durant. There's a lot of different guys that do the one-legged fadeaway, and he brought that to the league.
Chris, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you, Taman and I were talking before the show about the best power forwards in NBA history, and Dirk's now submitting and continuing his legacy in that. We came up with, I mean, not in any order, Dirk, Malone, Duncan, Barkley,
Garnett.
Is Dirk the best of those? Where would you rank Dirk as the best power forward in the NBA?
It's so hard to say because he invented the stretch four. He was the first ever stretch four. There were never 7-foot guys that could shoot threes. They weren't allowed to do it. They wanted to post up. And that was another reason why people started calling Dirk soft, because he didn't post up that often. He was always spreading the floor. There would be no Golden State Warriors spread offense like this if it weren't for Dirk Nowitzki. Karl Malone is arguably the most powerful power forward. Tim Duncan, the big fundamental, never did anything wrong. You cannot stop that turnaround out the glass shot he made all the time.
Yeah.
He's got the rings. He's got the most unusual dynasty of all time. Barkley never won a ring, but he was so big he played larger than his size. Barkley's really like 6'4".
Yeah.
He played larger than that.
Right.
I just wanted to say, I can't say, in my mind, the greatest power forward is Karl Malone, because I think a power forward is power.
Right.
Dirk's the greatest stretch forward of all time. Duncan is the big fundamental. That's Shaq's the one who nicknamed him that. And he's almost an enigma because, you know, he doesn't talk about himself and didn't brag about himself, but he has all these rings over a longer period of time than anybody. I don't think the Spurs ever won back-to-back titles. Isn't that amazing?
No, they never did. The closest they got was 2013 and 14, yeah, when they played the Heat.
2013, yeah.
Right. That was the closest they ever got to repeating.
Yep.
Remarkable. Chris Arnold, 105.3 The Fan, Mavs MC. Hey, I love that little back and forth we had. We thank you for joining us so much.
Oh, for sure. I love talking to you guys all the time, anytime. And by the way, one last thing. Everybody should enjoy Dirk.
Yeah.
Because you only got another year or so left out of him. He said maybe one more year, but you have to see. I will say this. There's never been another athlete like him, not only because of what he brings to the floor, but his personality and his kindness, his unsuperstar acting, I mean, I can't even tell you how it's just absolutely unique. Enjoy this while you can.
It's been a fun, as a Maverick fan my entire life, I have loved. I wrote on Facebook last night, I got to see him get drafted when I was 6, and I'm going to be at that final game at the AAC when he does his final game here. I can't wait for that.
And then you can take a picture with the statue out front.
That is true.
Yeah. When are they getting that statue?
Oh, I'm sure before too long. That Michael Jordan's got one, so he's got to have one.
While he was playing, did Michael Jordan get a statue while he was playing?
He got it while he retired, not the first time. Yeah, the first time.
Wow. Okay, wow.
Dang.
He got it when he retired to play baseball.
I can't wait to see that statue outside the AAC. Thanks much, Chris Arnold.
You know it's going to be a one-legged fadeaway.
Yeah, we are. Before we let you go, can we get the gotcha down part? We didn't get that today.
Gotcha down.
Appreciate it, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
All right, later, fellas. Bye-bye.
That was Chris Arnold from 105.3 The Fan. Man, always love having him on. We had the little back and forth. He always comes at me, man. He always comes at me.
Oh, man.
Man, always comes at me. But again,
because your takes are wrong.
No. You can ask anybody. You can ask anyone in my family. You can ask anyone I went to school with. I have been Team Dirk from the minute this man got here. There is no doubt about that. I was actually glad he brought that up, because the same way that in Cowboys country, how people have attacked Tony Romo,
right.
I've never blamed Romo. I was the exact same way with Dirk. I never attacked him. There were times where I disappointed, no doubt, as a Mavericks fan. But I said to myself, I trust this superstar. I believe he can get it done. And that's why in 2011, when he finally did get it done, and all these bandwagon Mavs fans were rooting for the Mavs because they didn't want the Heat to win, win because of the whole LeBron, Wade, and Bosh thing. I stuck with this dude. I was happy. I'm so happy for this man.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many people that were – I remember that. They were like, Dirk can't win. And if you look at this history, if you look at that stretch, there's reason for you to think that he wouldn't.
In 2011, when the Mavericks did win, a lot of people forget. Do you remember what happened in the first round against Portland?
Not specifically.
The Mavericks, and they went up 2-0. And in game three, right, they were playing Portland. Dallas was up by 23 late in the third quarter. They were up by 18 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. The Mavericks collapsed. Brandon Roy came back, and he won that game for Portland, right? And when that happened, because there were the notion was, and actually it was game four, not game three, excuse me, when the notion was Dallas is collapsing again. In 2011, there were a lot of people who actually picked Portland in the first round to beat the Mavericks. The Mavericks were, I believe, a 3 seed. Portland was a 6 seed. The fact that I was still sticking with this dude, I was so upset and so distraught when the Mavericks blew that lead in game four, but I still believed in my boy Dirk.
And he has come through again and again and again.
It's awesome.
It was incredible. Chris Arnold talked about how, you know, the arena was buzzing, and literally every time he got the ball, it grew exponentially as he got closer and closer. But every single time he got the ball, from the opening jump, people, you could just hear
a buzz.
People holding their, like, the gasping. I tweeted this not last night, but the last home game before, that every time Dirk gets the ball, a little bit of oxygen like gets removed from the room. the level of oxygen just drops because everyone's like they're just like standing up and getting ready and like super excited to see him get inch closer and closer to this mark. And on the Jumbotron, they're showing the countdown, and you know how in the AAC they have the video boards that go all the way around the arena. It all says 30K. It has Dirk pictures and Dirk video from like all different eras and stuff going all around.
That was awesome.
It looked really cool.
Yeah.
And they kept doing a countdown on the actual video board. I mean, it's so interesting because in basketball and playing the games, you know, the coaches will be like, don't worry about your numbers. Don't worry about your numbers. Don't worry about your numbers. And it'll just like, just go play within the game, play within yourself. And then a moment like this happens where you can't escape it. You know, like it becomes a point where stats and basketball and the fans and, you know, media and all that just combine, and we're all on the same page, you know, because it seems sometimes that, you know, whether it's a Russell Westbrook who's going after a triple double and fans are all like, oh, get him a couple more rebounds. Like you don't see, I mean, Russell Westbrook's a bad example in that, but don't see them necessarily going after that and trying, you know, to get that just to say they got a triple double and all this stuff. They're trying to play within the game and play to win.
Right.
But this is what, and the media saying something different, like, oh, Dirk needs to score more, Dirk needs to shoot less, or, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Everybody last night was on the same page.
Right.
I feel like the Lakers. Yeah. Because I feel like the Lakers just sort of let it. But everybody knew that this was going to happen.
Right.
That this was an inevitability and that it was going to be amazing. It was going to be history. And that the 30K shirts weren't going to be in vain.
One thing I liked about it is, I you know, as a sports fan just in general, I've watched on TV a lot of, you know, amazing things that happened to other people's teams. You know, Derek Jeter's final bat, Kobe Bryant, you know, scoring 60 in his final game. I finally got to see that with one of my favorite players on my favorite team. Like, you could just tell. I kind of, like you mentioned, I mean, I wasn't at the game, but just watching it on TV and seeing, you know, everybody stand up with their phones out, it just seemed like everyone was just on the same. And then when Dirk hit the shot, the only time I think I've heard the AAC that loud was when they beat Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals to go to the NBA Finals. To me, that was the only time I've ever seen it that loud.
It was so loud. And it was just, it was a different experience that I've never had before, because it's literally NBA history, and the game was fairly meaningless. The Mavericks have 26 wins. The Lakers have what, 19 wins?
Right.
We're in March. Like, the playoff race is gearing up, and the Mavericks, by the way, are 5-1 in their last six games.
True.
And they're playing really well, two games out of the playoffs.
Playing very good basketball.
Eight seed the playoffs. But I mean, the game, like, you forgot there was a game going.
Right.
You forget there's a game going on. We posted on Mavs Fanatic, go check it out, the you know, go relive Dirk's. It's our game recap video of that. We play all the video from him hitting the shot to the sound in the arena. You see the crowd, like, I show video of the crowd and his post game comments and all that. And I wrote in the caption, oh, by the way, the Mavericks won the game 122 to 111.
Yeah, you kind of forget because
that it was an actual basketball game.
Yeah,
and that things happen.
Right. You kind of forget.
Like Julius Randle had how many rebounds last night? Yeah, he had 18 rebounds, and nobody's gonna care about that.
And you know what? That just shows how much respect people have for Dirk.
Yeah,
because this was his night, and whatever happened, and like Chris mentioned, it's great the Mavs won the game.
Yeah,
but this was Dirk's night. Everybody knew it. Everybody was on the same page with it. And when he did it, and even after the game, you had to give him his respect.
You completely did.
You had legends on Twitter: Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, guys from all over congratulating Dirk. Former players: Tyson Chandler, Caron Butler, Brian Cardinal. You had guys coming out saying, "Hey, this is our brother. We love this guy." Sagana Jop wrote on Twitter, "He's like, congrats Sagana to my Jop. Brother." I was like, "Yeah, I was like that. That's awesome." You know, guys who Dirk hasn't played with in years, and maybe they have a friendship, you know, away from the court, but. You know, just that respect factor, you have to give it to him. Chris brought up the LeBron video. You know, LeBron was eating dinner, and he goes up and says, "Hey, I got to watch this game." And Dirk is just balling. Congrats to him, man.
And he's gonna be the next one in that club. He is close. He's like, what is he, eighth or ninth?
He's getting up. He's like 28.
He's really good. 28,000 points or something like that. LeBron James. And in the arena, after he hit it, Ben and Skin brought this up in their interview with Dirk. The interesting part about it that everyone will forget is that there was like three or four possessions between the time where he hit the shot and when they had the scrum of, like, you know, people hugging each other and all this stuff.
Right.
It was really funny because Dirk hits they go down the court and they get a stop and they go back down on offense, and Dirk gets this pass up at the top of the key, and he takes this sidestep three, and just after that, it was just like icing on the cake.
Like, it was like, he was like, "I got this."
And everybody was still on their feet at that point. They were still, they screamed through the entire defensive possession right after he hit the shot.
Right.
And then they're still on their feet, and so that was just like made it even more awesome. It was great. I mean, that was awesome. And then how about Cuban? Running in and hugging Dirk. Yeah,
Mark Cuban literally loves that guy.
And that moment would be so different if Mark Cuban was a different kind of owner. Can you imagine if Mark Cuban was like, you know, I mean, the nameless owner of the Spurs? Who's the owner of the Spurs? I don't even know who that is. And he might be at every single game, but we don't know who he is.
Right.
But we know Cuban has been on Dirk's side. He has been at every single game. It's been well documented that he has been at the games, even when the team was awful.
Right.
He's been there for Dirk.
When that
moment was awesome.
Chris Arnold brought this up. When Dirk won MVP in 2007, Dirk was hurt. And Dirk even said, he was like, "I'd give this MVP back if we could go back into the playoffs." And Mark Cuban was there. Mark Cuban introduced Dirk Nowitzki for his MVP ceremony, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you could tell Dirk was hurt. He was physically just hurt by this, mentally, everything. But Mark Cuban stuck by him. And he never faltered. He was like, "I'm rolling with this guy. We're going to fix this. It may take a little while, but we're going to fix this."
Yeah.
And Cube's been there for him. And you could tell when Cube hugged him, that was like
real emotion.
True emotion. Yeah. That was definitely there.
And there was nothing calculated about it.
Right. It wasn't fake at all.
He had no idea what he was doing, I think. He just like ran onto the court like a maniac and just like hugged him. And you could tell because of how awkward the hug was. He didn't plan it. It wasn't like one of those politician things where they plan where their arms are going, or the Donald Trump thing where he grabs your hand and pulls it towards you and admits dominance or whatever. It was just like he ran in and hugged him. And that was a great point that you made for once about
all the time
about this may have been the one massive, giant, big moment, big milestone in Dirk's career that went his way,
right?
You know,
that's very true,
because Chris Arnold and you both brought up the MVP where he won it and they were out of the playoffs.
Right.
The championship was amazing, of course. Can't take anything away from that. They didn't win it on the AAC. They didn't win it on home court, which is always terrible. There has to be a way
I'm going to say this, just, you know, I mean, there's no way because the schedule format's already out. But like, one thing that made me happy, as much as I would have loved for them to win it at the AAC, I guess because of what happened in 06. And Miami won it here.
Even that is like...
True. But to flip it back, and Dwayne Wade was still there, and every Mavs fan know how they feel about Dwayne Wade.
That's pretty awesome.
To win it back on their court, it was like payback.
Yeah.
Straight up payback.
That's true. So that was sort of on his terms.
Right.
But to be the only one in the AAC that like truly went his way, it was like... This was Dirk, and all the stars aligned.
Yeah,
last night
it was like, and I get what you're saying. It's like when he won the MVP, you know, usually when a player wins MVP in the playoffs, they'll do the little ceremony before the game. Dirk didn't get to do that.
Right.
Because they were already eliminated.
Right.
This was literally Dirk's night. Again, everyone knew it, from the fans to the celebrities that were there, to the media that was there.
I didn't see Tony Romo.
Oh, well, the fact that Chris Arnold...
I wonder if he knew he was going to be released.
He definitely did.
Yesterday.
The fact that Chris Arnold had... Zeke called Chris Arnold
to get
some last-minute tickets.
How about that info?
Like, that's hilarious. Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys had to call Chris Arnold and say, hey, man, you got some tickets for me? I got to get to this game. I got to see Dirk. And... Dirk was like, hey, you guys all came to see me, I'm going to give you a show. And Dirk knew it. Dirk was like, I mean, you heard him in the interview with Ben and Skin. You know, he was basically saying, you know, or in his post-game interview, I didn't want you guys to do that, blah, blah, blah. He knew doggone well it was happening. Let's be honest here. You know why he knew it? Because how many points did he have in the first quarter, in the first couple of minutes?
He had like 18 or 17.
Yeah, he was balling.
He had 25 in the first half.
He knew exactly what he was doing. And that's why.
He knew what was up. And that quote that Dirk said was, you know, he came in and Tim McMahon asked him, what did you think of when you first walked in and you saw the 30K shirts? And he said, well, you know, I didn't really like it. That's a lot of pressure. And I texted one of the marketing people for the Mavericks, Leslie, and said that, you know, yeah, I'm not sure about this. And they were like, well, if anything, it'll be Dirk week. Like, it'll just kick off Dirk week because they got two more games this weekend. Friday they're playing the Nets, and I think Saturday they're playing the Suns.
Right.
So he was going to get it. He was going to get it at AAC. The stars just aligned for that way. But Carlisle told a story about Dirk that I hadn't heard, that maybe you have heard, and maybe some of our listeners had heard. But that Dirk was going to throw the first pitch before the World Series for the Rangers. And somebody called him up and was like, hey, you know, no, don't feel the pressure or whatever. Don't worry about the pressure, blah, blah, blah. And Dirk just says to them, I make love to pressure.
I'm so glad he said that. I am. You know what? In all honesty, because you may or may not
believe. I make love to pressure.
You may or may not believe me, but just right before you were saying this little buildup there, I was thinking there are certain players that I've defended for years in the NBA.
Yeah.
Dirk Nowitzki, Kobe Bryant, Paul Pierce, you know, guys who just have it when the going is.
And live for the moment.
Yeah, and they live for that. And Dirk is that. You know, he stepped up to this. He was like, I'm taking this moment. And that's why I said a couple minutes ago, like, he knew what he was doing. He was like, all these people are here, and they done did all this. This ain't no Dirk week. This is going to be Dirk day.
Yeah, tonight.
Today is not Tuesday. It's Dirk day.
And quick aside from all the Dirk stuff, like, yes, this podcast is all going to be about Dirk. But,
and by the way, the Mavs won last night.
Yeah, right.
They beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
If anyone
and Harrison
know.
Barnes and Seth Curry played really well
last
night.
Yeah,
they did. The Mavericks are now looking for a player that is like that, that lives for the moment. And Harrison Barnes showed it early that he can do that, that he can be a player like that. And I think Yogi Ferrell does. And I think Yogi Ferrell is a guy that lives for the moment, that can step up in situations like that. And so that's why I think I mentioned this in the last pod with Sean about you know, drafting and stuff about Yogi,
right.
That he could be a potentially like Isaiah Thomas type player where he can rise up and live, you know, for moments like this. Just wanted to throw that out there. I think that's one quality that the Mavericks are now looking for and that every team is looking for. The Lakers are an interesting microcosm of this situation where they're looking for a player like that has sort of that intangible, live for the moment, like loves pressure type of player. And I'm not sure that they've found it. I'm not sure they found a player like that. Maybe D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram could grow into that. I think Julius Randle has nights like that, but not a player that does it consistently.
I mean, well, the Mavs have a young core, and it's hard to determine on what, I mean, but, you know, Barnes and Curry and Yogi, they
and Nerlens?
Yeah, and Nerlens, Nerlens. But
by the way, Nerlens hugged Dirk
during the defensive possession. Game. Yeah, it was.
Which I was asking everybody. I was like,
You've been my teammate for like a week and a half, but I love you.
He was the first one to embrace Dirk.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
Like, that's like first one in, last one out. Like first one in, last one out.
Yeah.
The opposite of that.
Yeah.
Last one in, first one out.
The Mavericks have a core, and I think all of them have shown it. But I think, honestly, and Nick, I'm giving you credit.
This is a show where we cannot disagree because it's Dirk. I mean, it's Dirk Pod.
I know.
Can we just agree the rest of the show? I don't know how much time we're going to have left. But
you know, you have been a part of team playoffs all year. And I think if this team does make the playoffs, they have shown, just being young and talking about pressure and whatnot, how much resiliency that they have. And maybe they're living up to this pressure. If the Mavericks, obviously led by Dirk, but outside of that, Barnes, Curry, Yogi, Nerlens, if this young court gets West. To that 18, yeah, if they get to this 18,
Anthony Smith has played
good. There is so much promise for this future that it's pretty incredible.
All the drops. Just give you all the drops. How about this one?
There he goes. I give you credit. You know, hey, I'm a type of person, I will give credit what credit's due.
And not to rub it in your face, but there is...
Yeah, he's rubbing it in
there is There is value in taking guys like this and giving them experiences like right. what they went through last night. And if I was going to ask Dirk a question, and there was no chance that I was going to ask Dirk a question, there was just so many people there and so many reporters and just people, you know, jumping in and all this stuff.
Right.
That... What and Carlisle too? I wanted to ask him this: How can Carlisle or Dirk use this night, use this moment, this milestone to motivate or to use it as an example for these young guys that this is what you can obtain in basketball if you work the way that Dirk does. This is you know, they'll never make it that they'll right. never make it to there, but this is like what it can be like.
Well, you know what? What have we said about Dirk forever? He has one of the probably strongest work ethics we have ever seen.
Yeah, completely.
So the fact that, you know, these young guys got to see that up close, they were right there, your teammates. You got to see that right up close. This is what can happen. You may not get 30,000 points, but if you set your goal for the accomplishments that you set yourself out to do, you just go out there and do it. And have fun with it, because you know what? Dirk has always had fun, and Dirk had one.
He still has fun in the warm-ups and everything.
Right? Dirk said on Ben and Skin, one thing he said that will be a contributing factor on if he stays maybe just longer than next year is that as long as I'm having fun, you know. And he said that as he's gotten older, have fun with it. Go out there. You have goals. Go out there, set them, get them, and have fun with it. I think that's what Dirk would tell these young guys. And the fact that they've seen it up close, they see picture proof of it.
And this team has now, all the guys in the locker room, maybe not Nerlens Noel and Yogi, maybe, they have seen the lowest of the low. They see, remember December, early December, that game against Chicago where Dirk, before the game even started, Mavs PR came out and said that Dirk was going to talk to the media afterwards.
That was so scary.
And so we the media, were...
Fake things.
All thinking crazy things. Thinking, what does this mean? Thinking, what is he retiring? Is he retiring right now? Because he had been dealing with the Achilles injury.
Right, and the Mavericks weren't winning. It was not a good time.
The Mavericks were terrible at that point. They were probably still worse in the West at that point. And he had been on and off of his Achilles injury. And then there was that weird time where he aggravated it again. And he was held out. And they said he was going to be out indefinitely. And so I think he was still out during that time. Right. I don't think he had played games between, you know, before that press conference and after. And so we all wait. And the game ends. Everyone's still murmuring, talking. You know, I remember we had Isaac Harris on this podcast. And I remember me and him walking down the hallway thinking, like, is this going to be it?
Right.
Is he going to say that he's retiring? Are we going to be there when Dirk says he's retiring after this random game in December against the Bulls?
Yeah, right. Has it really come down to that?
And so we get to the presser room. And Carlisle comes up and he says, oh, by the way, Dirk, you know, isn't going to actually talk to the media.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he fooled you.
He isn't going to talk to the media. And so the air got let out of the room. The rest of the press conference goes by. And then Carlisle...
And it says right at the end.
Carlisle comes right back at the end. He literally steps off the podium and steps back on and says, oh, by the way, he is going to talk. So you can untweet everything you just tweeted.
Right.
But I say all that and I share that story to say, how far have we come from that moment this season where that was the lowest of the low? We think Dirk's going to be gone. You think that the team is awful. Everyone was on team tank at that point except me. And now we're talking about Dirk playing a couple more. We're talking about Dirk playing a couple more years, not just the rest of this year. We were wondering if he was going to play the rest of this year back in December. And now we're looking at Dirk saying this guy could play two more years.
Right.
It's just amazing how far we've come.
I have something to say, and I need you to do something for me.
Do you need a dropper?
I need a breaking news dropper.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Breaking news coming into our studio right here, and I have to tell you guys, I am a man of my word. I am a true man of my word. And I said, if the Maverick, if Nick is right, I'll give him credit. I'm a person who will say that I will give credit where credit is due. I always say this at the end of our show. I always say, Taman is right, Nick is wrong. That's the end of the story. Well, I'm going to say this. Nick, you're right. Taman, I'm wrong. That's the end of the story. Nick, you're right. I'm off Team Tank.
Playoffs?
Is that what we're talking about?
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Yeah, right?
Are we talking about...
Playoffs?
Yeah, I want them to make the playoffs.
This is exactly what was going to happen. And so for those of you that are just joining us on this podcast this and on this season, for those that have joined on because of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, shout out to them.
Yes.
Taman has been on Team Tank the entire season, and I've been on Team Playoffs because, and this is why, let me make the case. It's easy now to make the case, but I was making the case back when they were 2-13, 3-13, that there is only certain ways to get a superstar. The draft is the best way, okay? Well, that just the odds are. Daryl Morey said it on Zach Lowe's podcast, that the draft is the best way. But the draft is such a crapshoot that to even get one of those top picks, it would take years. Look at the Lakers. Look at the Orlando Magic. Look at teams like that right. have now gone through these awful seasons over and over again and have gotten these picks and have gotten really lucky. The Lakers have gotten really, really, really lucky getting these picks, getting the D'Angelo Russell pick number 2, getting the Brandon Ingram pick number 2. That pick could have gone away.
Right.
And again, this year, they're going to need to get really lucky in the lottery to keep that pick. They have to be top 3. For the Mavericks to go through that situation for years, and it would take years and years to even get maybe a number 1 overall pick, number 2 pick, number 3 pick. The Mavericks would have to be so bad,
right,
that
they're laughable. They're
and
the Brooklyn Nets.
Look at the 76ers. They right. have maybe they have one amazing player in Joel Embiid. Guy can't stay on the court, and that's why he dropped to them at number 3.
Right.
And they have Ben Simmons, who still hasn't played a game.
Right.
Word's still out on him. And they got rid of Nerlens Noel. He was what started. He's the, you know, the tank, the front of the
right.
tank.
Yeah.
He was the barrel of the tank.
Right.
And it would take so much for this team, and you don't want to ruin a culture. You would run Carlisle out.
If
the team tanked, Carlisle would probably be gone. And it might not be after the end of this year, but at the end of his contract, if the team was still awful, he would run. And you're not going to bring on, and even if you do get a pick, so you go through all that, you go through all the tanking, you get to a top pick, you get into the lottery, you get a number 3-2-1 pick, even then, you could get a Wes Johnson, a Kwame Brown, you could get a Hashim Thabeet, you could get guys
Hashim
like that.
Thabeet.
even you're looking at Brandon Ingram right now, people are looking at him going, oh, he's a bust, not good.
Bust.
You could get an Anthony Bennett. This draft could end up being like a 2013 where Anthony Bennett goes number 1, Victor Oladipo goes number 2. Neither of those guys are changing a franchise.
Well, we know
one of those guys isn't on a franchise.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett, I don't know if he's changing the local McDonald's, man. He ain't doing nothing.
The way the Mavericks should go forward, and that's what I've been saying all season, is that they build up the players that they have. They build up their infrastructure. They got really lucky with Harrison Barnes. That should not have happened. They should not be able to get Harrison Barnes, but they did. And they should build up those players. They should train up those players. Keep the culture. Culture is more important sometimes than the potential to acquire talent.
Right.
So you throw the potential to acquire talent sometimes before. That's what the process, Sam Hinkie and the process was all about, getting talent, but then they leveraged their culture for it. And
right.
the Mavericks should not do that. And they haven't. And it's been amazing.
I'm going to say this because, like, I admit again, I'm off Team Tank, but I think that anybody is going to sit here and say that there was a reason why a lot of people went on Team Tank, because the future didn't look bright. It looked bad. We didn't know the extent of Dirk's injury. We know he's getting older, and normally when an older player, suffers an Achilles injury, it's not good. So I think a lot of people, including myself, we were like, well, you know what? The Mavericks aren't good. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. They have some veterans. I mean, this is a different team than they had at the beginning of the season, and it just didn't look bright.
Yeah.
So they were like, let's end this. We love Dirk. Dirk years are coming to an end, and we'll love him graciously. Yeah, we'll love him to death, but it's time to start looking towards the future. But the Mavericks were able to be creative. They were able to look at the future while still being in the now, which is great. And I give them props for that. I give Cuban props for that. I give Donnie Nelson props for that. I the fact that they were able to pick up some guys, and I know you keep talking about Harrison Barnes, and obviously he's been great. But I think another guy that's really been great, assuming all the injuries that have been at the guard position, has been Seth Curry. Yeah. I mean, Darren Williams got hurt. Devin Harris has had injuries. J.J. Barea has
Darren Williams is gone, and the team is better.
Right. Yeah, right.
J.J. Barea hasn't played in months, and the team is better. It's amazing.
And the fact that Seth Curry...
That shouldn't happen.
Right. The fact that Seth Curry has really... I mean, we all saw the potential in Sacramento.
And everybody was excited about Seth Curry when he got signed. Right. Everybody was.
Right. But the thing is, I think there was a portion of people who were happy that we got Seth Curry because he's Steph Curry's little brother.
Right, yeah.
But Seth has literally, he's gotten out of his shell, and he's showing himself. He is a good player. And the fact that he's been able to show that amongst the Mavericks problems, he stepped up. Yogi Ferrell, another guy. I mean, this was a guy who, remember when Rick Carlisle said after the Cleveland game, where was he, in Pennsylvania or Long Island or something like that? And then
Iowa.
They found him, and he's seizing the opportunity. And, I mean... Again, props to the Mavericks. And again, I give credit to you for sticking with them. I should have done the same thing.
And I can't blame people for being on Team Tank, because there has been a lot of things that have happened between now and then.
Right.
When people started getting on Team Tank when this team was bad, that make this team different. One of those things is, guards being injured and things like that. And those guards haven't come back. Darren Williams still hasn't come back. J.J. Barea still really hasn't come back. So that's a thing, against this. But you find a Yogi Ferrell. A Dorian Finney-Smith, even. You find him, and he was undrafted and all this stuff. You get a Nerlens Noel. Seth Curry becomes the player that he should. Harrison Barnes even exceeds a lot of people's expectations. Right. And he has been so consistent and
I'm so proud of him, because being the fourth option in Golden State, and a lot of people were like, well, he could be good, but we don't really know. And then he had a bad finals.
Man,
he had a bad Olympics.
A bad finals. Coming off that finals, people were so down on him.
Right. He had a bad finals. He had a bad Olympics. He wasn't looking great in the preseason. Everybody was like, this might be the $94 million mistake. And the fact that he's been able to go through that at age 24, to turn from the number four guy to go through all that, to be the number one guy.
Pretty much.
Props to Barnes, man. He's playing really good. Really good.
Hey, Taman, do you remember Chandler Parsons?
Who? I remember Tyson Chandler.
Do you remember Chandler Parsons?
I do.
How long ago does that seem that people were like, no, we should keep Chandler Parsons. Harrison Barnes
I'm going to be honest with you, and I've been consistent with it. I am so glad that we signed Barnes, because right from the beginning.
Me too. That's been one thing we've agreed on all season.
Right from the beginning, I said, I think this guy's going to be good.
Yep.
I said this would be a breakout season for him, which it has. And I said, if we could get Parsons back, I say let's take him, but we're not giving him what he wants.
Yeah.
If we can get him for a decent contract, which I'm glad. Yeah.
Poor Memphis. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I was like, if we can get him for a decent contract, that's fine, but I'm not giving him a max contract. I don't think he's a max player, and he is not a max player.
And neither is Allen Crabbe.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Allen Crabbe will forever be like the player that people look at and are like, look at the amount of money he made and the amount of production that he gives out. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, really.
So, but this pod should be about Dirk. We went on a whole rabbit trail. But
wait, I want to hear this. Your best Dirk impression.
Oh, yeah. After the game, I grabbed the Bud Light. And
Mine goes a little like this. Oh, yeah, we played really well, and I was able to get...
Yours is fruitier than mine.
I played 1,000 points.
Yours sounds like Shaq.
Really?
You sound like Shaq.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Give me a Can You Dig It.
Can you dig it? Are you Shaq and a fool?
Thank you, Mavs fans.
Thank you, Mavs fans.
Oh, by the way, this is so random, but did you see that Zaza Pachulia was talking post game with the Golden State Warriors sideline reporter, and Steph Curry came behind him and was like, "Nothing easy."
I did not see that.
That was so funny. They showed that on the starters. It was so funny.
The Bud Light
story was real though.
Yeah.
That Dirk after the game, between ending the game and talking to skin on the sidelines where everybody in the arena could hear it, which was awesome, by the way. Where between talking to him and talking to us, the media, hashtag we the media, he had a Bud Light.
Hey, you know what? You deserve it. Peyton Manning wanted Budweiser Seriously. After the Super Bowl, yeah. and he got it. Dirk, you wanted Bud Light after your 30,000. Doggone, drink it, man.
And people have so many things to say about Bud Light, but Dirk loves it, right? So he can have it. There we go.
There we have it. That
man,
was great.
We've gone. Well, now this is like 50 minutes after That's Chris okay. Arnold. We could go for another hour, yeah. I think.
We could. We want to talk about all 19 seasons of Dirk Nowitzki. Let's do it.
We could. Let's go through basketball reference. Let's go through it and let's talk about it.
Right.
But, man, what a night. That was amazing.
It was great.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mavs Fanatic podcast.
Thank you for joining us.
Go back. Go to MavsFanatic.com right now. Do yourself a favor. Go watch all of our videos. Got some great stuff. Yes. We did a congratulations, Post Malone, that song. We did a montage of all Dirk stuff. We did a post-game recap that has some good stuff in it. I did a video essay about Dirk and 30,000 points. It's awesome. We've just done some really great stuff on there. Props to all those guys. Check out Michael Lark's pictures on there.
Yeah,
he took some
awesome
really
yesterday.
Sweet pictures
yeah,
from last night.
Awesome.
Put them as a wallpaper on your phone. Go download those. I mean, it's awesome. Thanks so much
we
for
love
joining
you, Dirk.
Us. Follow us and make sure you check out audibletrial.com/almighty.
Thank you, Dirk.
Dirk, man,
love him.
It's awesome.
Love him.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings, much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.